Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for listening or watching Davin's Den. All right, so we'll start with the how'd the cat get in here?
Because Nacho and I were having an in-depth conversation in the hallway, and he said, "Please, after you, my lady," and he led me into the room.
Okay, well, you'll have to let him out. All right. The Republican National Committee said Thursday it was withdrawing from the Commission on Presidential Debates, alleging that the organization was biased in favor of Joe Biden against Donald Trump during the 2020 campaign. The commission has organized all general election debates between the major party candidates since 1988, and it's unclear how the 2024 debates would proceed, if at all, as Trump teases a possible rematch against Biden, because you can't be old enough to run this country. RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel vowed her organization would find newer, better debate platforms to ensure that future... What does that even mean?
Newer, shinier, now with more bleaching action.
Where are they going to go, in the metaverse? Ugh.
I don't know.
To ensure that future nominees are not forced to go through the biased Commission of Presidential Debates in order to make their case to the American people. McDaniel claimed that the commission was fixed and that the fly that landed on Mike Pence's face was part of a conspiracy. No, McDaniel claimed the commission had refused to enact simple and common sense reforms to help ensure fair debates, including hosting debates before voting begins and selecting moderators who have never worked for candidates on the debate stage. That was as a reference to the commission's selection of then C-SPAN host and former Biden intern Steve Scully to host the second 2020 debate, which was later canceled after Trump contracted COVID-19 and refused to appear remotely. No! Not you. The Trump campaign also took issue with the scheduling of the debates in 2020, wanting them to be held before the start of the expanded mail-in voting period. The GOP release also accused the commission of making unilateral changes to previously agreed-upon debate formats and conditions, in some cases without even notifying the candidates, an apparent reference to a mute button announced by organizers after Trump interrupted Biden to press him on his son's overseas business ventures at the first 2020 debate. The RNC said that the commission, which includes members of both parties, failed to maintain the organization's strict nonpartisanship, with the majority of its board members publicly disparaging the Republican nominee. Republicans on the commission, a nine-member board, include former Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine, who said in 2016 that Trump was hurting our Republican brand and urged the 45th president to resign from office after the Capitol riot. The commission did not respond immediately for comment, so we will let Joe kick this off, since this was his blog, which you can read at davincomedy.com.
Yeah, basically what I was saying in my blog is that they do have some points on there where it just seems that it has been very partisan against the Republican Party in the media. One of the things, as an example, is the laptop with Hunter Biden, where the Post came out with the story and everybody dismissed it. And finally, early this year, the New York Times said there had been credibility to that, where it was dismissed by everybody right before the election. Now, with that being said, with everything with the Biden administration, and there are so many things with the policy in that administration, which is really failing, and things that Democrats are seeing as much as Republicans and conservatives are seeing. To say that we're not going to have a debate, we're not going to be participating in the debates, I think is absolutely foolish, because basically people voted personality over policy in the election. They have a chance now to show that policy is not working and to demonstrate and have discussion and debate on how policy in the Biden administration is not working for the people to see. So the Republicans, and this is what I brought up in a discussion in several instances during this show, a lot of the parties, right or left, Republican or Democrat, don't get it. They don't use their head. They're not thinking with common sense. You have a chance to expose policies that are not working, and demonstrate them to the American public, and for them to see it and actually debate about it. And and because of sour grapes of past debate, oh, we're not going to participate in this, is foolhardy. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense.
All right. A couple things. First of all, the American public always votes personality over policy. That's how Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. So to say that they voted the same way in 2020, that's just the way we vote. It's something I get upset about every time because I'm more of a policy person. I don't care about the personality. So, I mean, that's how we won and that's how we lost. Can you let Nacho?
Yeah.
Thank you. So I agree with some of what you say. I'm not going to go into whether the policy's failing. I will just say about the Hunter Biden thing. At the time, you have to remember, it came from Rudy Giuliani, who had just given a press conference in front of a section.
I just
want to say why nobody took it seriously.
I don't want to discuss it because it's not fair. I want to think about what I just said. This is what the Republican, and I'm not being literal, but it's an example of where the Republicans are going, the conservative party's going. It's where you're bringing up these. No, I don't want to discuss. You need to discuss this. You know, and like I said, that back and forth, they're being foolhardy with backing out of this.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say, and then all I'm going to say on this is, at the time was the messenger was Rudy Giuliani, who had completely diminished any standing he has with most people, right or left. So that's why, you know, I got it from some guy at a computer shop, and it's Rudy Giuliani who was just coming off the heels of melting his face and a press conference in front of his sex shop. If they had a different messenger, perhaps it would have been taken a little bit more seriously. So that was that. Okay. I think they do raise some interesting points. And I looked at a CNN article about this, and they didn't have these points, which is why I went with the New York Post article to talk about. I'm like, well, let me see what the others – not that CNN. I consider CNN more the middle, but let me see what the middle is saying about this. I know it's fun for the right to call them left wing,
right,
but they didn't have these points, so I went with the Post. Yeah, I think we should have debates before early voting. I think that's an excellent idea.
Right.
I think there should be a rule that a moderator should never work for the candidate. I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah.
Now, conversely, I think the mute button was an excellent idea because whoever is debating, but Trump was the worst of it, but he's not the only one. They always talk all over each other. Then you just get people screaming.
It turns into a fucking circus sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think the mute button was a welcome addition. Honestly, I'd play a foghorn. then everybody would have, somebody's being an asshole.
What, the one you bring to the ball game, the football game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
better than that, the purge siren. Now, Pip hasn't seen the purge, but
see an episode, and that is terrifying.
Yes. Whoever the politician is, when they start talking over the other one or go over their time, or even when they don't address the topic, because they don't like to address the topic, they like to get to the point, you play the purge noise. So
I would like them to get little shocks when they go off topic.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Now we all watched the debates. I don't think the debates were biased. One of them was by Chris Wallace, who's on Fox. We don't like Chris Wallace from Fox. Why? Because he called it down the middle? I mean, stop it. The debates were fine. Now, keep in mind, I don't like people who work for them being a moderator, but that debate never happened. You know, they're fine. And after every debate, Donald Trump told us he won anyway. He said it went great. So it's like sour grapes now. He thought every debate was great. I did great, blah, blah, blah. And now they want to rewrite how they looked at things. So I think some of the things that they're saying have validity and should be addressed, but to Joe's point, they're not helping themselves by not having a debate. So what are you just gonna talk with Hannity? You do that already,
right?
And that tells me, and this is really what it is. I mean, Joe says Biden's policies are failing. We disagree on that, but the problem is the Republicans really don't have policies that they want to put forward. That's why they're doing culture wars and this nonsense, where if they did have policy,
once again you're saying I'm not starting, it's just explaining. Joe's saying that Biden's policies are not working, and then you turn around and go, well, you know, it's up in the air whether Biden's policies are working or not. Have the debate about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying.
Don't be foolhardy and be babies and say we don't want to be in the debate.
But that's what I'm saying. The reality is, unfortunately, we only have one party at this point who wants to govern and talk about issues, and another one who wants to talk be personality and culture wars. Listen, I would love a traditional conservative to be on the stage up there against Joe Biden, whoever it is. Let's hash it out.
And speak factually.
Yeah.
And speak about actual issues and not just talking points, not just going off on tangents. But we also need to have need to be a call back to,
civility.
Thank you. I was struggling for the word, but that's exactly the word I was looking for. Civility, propriety. We can't have people screaming
Realistically, you could have an intelligent debate between, say, a Hillary Clinton and a Mitt Romney, and you would get your traditional liberal policies and points of view and your traditional conservative policies, points of views, and I'm sure we have all different opinions on those, right. But you could have an intelligent debate and the people could make an intelligent decision. Unfortunately, we're not those people. Most people, we're those people, but most of the people like the show. I mean, let's be honest, a debate without Donald Trump, after what we've seen, not very entertaining. I got to be honest. I watch a lot more.
Also, as I said in my blog, the whole thing again with this is, well, the debate with Trump. Look, I like Trump. I would vote for him again. Trump is part, to me, in running for election, Trump is polarizing and Trump is damaged goods. Me, I would feel DeSantis, maybe Pence, my opinion. However, you need to move away from that and bring, and stop concentrating on somebody that was a polarizing figure and move ahead where you have a lot of, a president now that is down in the polls and a lot of Democrats are not really sure of him. Listen. A lot of Republicans and conservatives aren't. So you're missing the opportunity to present that and go over it in front of the American public instead of go, well, in the past election was a polarizing figure that we hadn't seen in years. And you can't base the 2024 election on that in order to base.
Yeah, but it had the best ratings. And that's really what this is about. Listen, you and I disagree.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, and it gets back down to
You and I disagree on Biden's policies.
Who's got a book to sell and who's getting the best ratings? But still, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, you've got very decent points on trying to regulate this. But to sit there and go, well, we're not going to participate. No, you're missing a great opportunity if you don't. You got to.
Well, and that's what I'm going to say. Listen, you and I disagree on whether his policies are working or not working. Like I've said, we all think President Daddy controls everything. So when the country's good, he gets all the credit. When the country's bad, gets all the credit. That being said, there is certainly an opportunity for him to be picked off by the Republicans.
And for me to say, well, there's some things that I a lot of policies of Biden, I disagree that some are. And for me to go, well, I don't want to discuss it. Well, the only voice they're going to hear is yours. You're missing that opportunity. It's another thing where a political party or the national committee is being foolhardy
and led by
a partisan committee that want to prove their point, and they're missing the opportunity.
No,
with common sense. A lot of political parties don't think with common sense.
No, you're misunderstanding. They are looking at, we have to get our base out. And our base, we have found, loves to consider themselves aggrieved and oppressed. And this is just another way to play into that. See, we can't get a fair shake. We can't, look how mean they were to us. Look at this, that, the other. Even though they do have some valid points. But
they do.
This just plays into that narrative. That's what they're going for. They don't.
Well, like I said, I was there was a comic that worked for the Democratic National Party, and we discussed politics the weekend we were working. And I said one of the things, my critique about the conservative party is they're akin to the religious right. And she said, you got to understand that's their base. You can go out and you could go out and try to get every other group, but still you have to come home tonight to your base. And this is another thing. They're coming home tonight to their base, but the common sense aspect, I don't see it.
Listen, I mean, if they don't want to debate, that's just a win for Biden, because debates are not his strength, to be fair. I'm being generous. The only reason he looked okay in the debates, because honestly, there were other liberals that did better in the debates when they were all up there. Mm-hmm. But he was, quote, the moderate. But the only reason he looked okay, because he had Trump being completely unhinged on the other end. Like I said, if you had like a Mitt Romney up there who can form a sentence and be composed and actually debate issues, even if I disagree with his policies and point of view, a person walk in and go, okay, I see that. That makes sense. He seems like he could get it done. He seems competent. And Biden would probably lose. But anyway, yeah, we all agree.
Looking forward to 2024. Like I said, as much of a Trump supporter as I am, it's not going to be Trump in 2024. It's probably going to be DeSantis. Trump's damaged goods. You know, I like him, but he's damaged goods. So the party knows that. They're playing close to the vest right now, but you can pretty much see what's going to turn out. So have that set up where you have a debate with somebody that's not going to be that polarizing.
Well, DeSantis is polarizing too, but you can polish up that turd, in my opinion. But we all agree it's a mistake, even though they have valid points.
Yeah,
it's some valid points. It's a mistake to take your podium and go home.
Yeah.
Fight through it, and that's what you bring to the people. Listen, we wanna participate, but these are valid things. Say you're being cheated, and we're gonna keep on fighting. Why shouldn't everybody who votes get to hear this? But the problem is you've already attacked early voting. So you spent the past years attacking early voting, and now you want to make sure those people get to hear. That's the problem. But they have valid points. Okay, let's move on. School of Fools.
School of Fools.
A New Jersey high school teacher was suspended after allegedly mocking a Muslim student in class and calling him a terrorist, official in the teen's family said. Mohammed Zubi, a 17-year-old senior at Ridgefield Memorial High School, last week asked the teacher if he could have some more time to complete an assignment, according to his family. That's when the instructor allegedly quipped, "We don't negotiate with terrorists." Ah, the humor. Said Saladin Maksa, executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. In New Jersey, speaking on behalf of the family. "It perpetrates the stereotypes against Arabs and Muslims, and that for the past 20 years, this is what organizations like CARE and others have been trying to combat," Maksa told NBC News on Tuesday. You'd like to think 20 years later these would be dying down, but here they are, being used by a teacher in a classroom, so it's very alarming to see. Which I say is, like, you know how long people have been doing the arms? We don't get tired of shit. The Ridgefield School District said in a statement that it has absolutely no tolerance for any sort of discrimination against any student or staff member, and strives to create an inclusive environment where students and staff members' race, religion, national origin, and sexual orientation are embraced. The teacher has been suspended while the district investigates and intends to pursue any and all legal remedies, it added. Uh-oh. A representative for New Jersey's Education Association, the union, which represents the public school teachers, could not immediately reach for comment, although I did reach out to them, and they said, "Hamada, hamada."
Typical response.
Yeah.
All right, listen. This guy was joking. You're not in the nightclub, dude. Even if you are in the nightclub, you might get fired from the gig these days. He probably should be suspended. I don't think he probably, unless this guy's got a history of this, I wouldn't necessarily fire him. But you know, you do the courses they give in sensitivity, but you rehabilitate this guy.
Right.
You know, I don't think he should lose his job. It was really fucking stupid. I mean, and I could imagine in our day, growing up, our days are a little different.
Yes.
But I could certainly imagine a teacher getting away with that.
Yeah.
People laughing and the student not feeling he is powerful enough. Like, I wouldn't have felt empowered enough to complain. And I could see that hurting. It was a stupid thing to say. Funny.
Yeah, funny.
But stupid. Stupid. Listen, you're not a governor's. You know, by the way, Joe, you got to let me know when I'm going to be there. That's something you're supposed to be working on. You're not a governor's.
Yeah.
You're not a Bananas Comedy Club. You're in a classroom, stupid. You know what you do? You tell that to your friend. You tell that to the other teachers when you're going out for drinks afterwards, bitching about the kids.
Exactly.
That's in the classroom. You deserve to get suspended. And it looks like they want to take much more action against this guy.
You want to know something? The way things are now, and in the context of how audiences are, I think if you made that comment now, And if the guy was being disrupted or something like that during the show, you might be making that joke. But if you knew that he was Arab and stuff like that, and the guy said, "Hey, you got to quit. Well, we don't negotiate with terrorists," that could turn an audience against you and fuck your setup. I mean, that, even in the comedy club, that could be a problem.
Yeah, it's stupid. There's a time and a place, and I'm not sure where the time or place is for that in these days. And I don't think it's a bad – listen, I don't – like I said, I think teachers could have gotten away with it when we were growing up, but I don't think that makes it right.
No. I mean, now we know that these things are hurtful, and we know that you know, that they're against a certain culture.
You're singling out the student and making him the point of you're making the student the point of a joke.
The butt of a joke.
Yeah, the butt of a joke, which is not good as a teacher.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, things that before we realized that they were really insensitive and cruel, you know, we'd say things like, you know, "Oh, don't be an Indian giver" or something. And so, you know, if somebody just threw that out years ago, a lot of people would not even realize that they were saying anything bad. You know?
I'll give you an example of what happened to me multiple times as a student, which would probably not happen now. When I was in elementary school, we had desks where you could put stuff in.
Yeah.
Including dittos. That's what we had back then. Dittos, kids. Papers. Stuff.
Dittos, kids.
We had paper.
Books, pens. Mine was a mess. Shove it in there. You expected Oscar to pop out. I'm not. It was a mess.
I love trash.
And like every week or couple of weeks, whatever the hell it was, you had to clean out your desk.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because the teachers knew. Well, mine was such a mess on multiple occasions where the teacher would dump out my desk.
Yeah.
And all the crap would fall on the floor. Now, I certainly didn't make a stink about it then, but I can't imagine doing that. Now, you'd be desk shaming. And
I don't know that would be such a bad thing.
No, I could see
desk shaming.
Well, no, I'm being funny there, but I don't know if you could do that because you're humiliating this person. Now, it's not their ethnicity or their appearance or anything like that, but you are making a student. In this case, it was me, the point of ridicule in front of everybody else.
Yeah, but not for something like a protected class, for being a slob.
No, it's right.
Being a slob is not a protected class.
Oh, you're protected.
Trust me.
You're protected. Trust me. If you weren't, you
wouldn't. No, I'm not. I get reamed for it here.
You don't know how lucky you are. I walk out of here. No, but I could see that. Listen, I could very easily see a student complain, make it me, little me in today's thing. I complain. I felt bad. I got bullied afterwards because they called me pig pen or whatever the hell it was afterwards.
That's hysterical.
but I mean, I could see that happening and being a problem now. There's just certain things that you don't do now. You go, "Oh, it's ridiculous. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I know I didn't feel great about it. I know one of my friends still brings it up to me."
Get out.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when your shit's being dumped on the floor.
Is this Elias? I need to call him?
No, it's not okay. Elias. But when your shit's being dumped on the floor and everybody sees it.
Right.
You know, everybody's looking at you. And when you're a kid or a teen, yeah. I wasn't a teen, yeah. That's the last thing you want.
You don't want attention.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I could see that being a problem now. So again, I could see this happening when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like this Muslim comment.
When I was in high school, I told this story before. We had a gym teacher, and he played for the Dolphins, was a linebacker, he's a gym teacher. If he caught you smoking, and this is like legendary, if he caught you smoking, you had two choices: to go to the dean's office or to take a punch from him. And everybody would take the punch, because if you didn't, you'd be labeled a pussy. Everybody would know. And this was, you're a high school kid. You're taking a punch from an NFL linebacker. You're going to fucking jail for that now. And he knocked
well, it's assault.
Out. This one guy, Slater, we used to call him. He knocked Slater out. He got in trouble. He didn't get fired or anything. He got in trouble. But that, you know, you can't do shit like that.
Nor should you be able to.
You shouldn't be able to punch. No. Jim, you can't punch the students.
Yeah.
You can't punch the students, yeah.
Yeah, all right. All right, so we all agree that this teacher is getting what it's coming to him. Probably shouldn't be fired, but how dumb are you?
Oh, what a dumb thing to say. You know, this is one of those things that you should say, and the only thing that you should be able to do right away is go, "Ruh-roh!" Because you know you fucked up.
Did I do that? You pull an Urkel.
You can't fuck the students, and you can't call the Arab one terrorist. How's Julie doing? You know,
it's really stupid. Funny, but stupid.
Stupid.
All right, let's move on. This is a confusing story, this identity crisis story.
Yeah.
So two women incarcerated in Edna, Mayhem. How did you like to be the I'm hoping it's like a corrections office. Like, I need to be like, they named a prison after like an outstanding prisoner. She made a fine license plate. We named the facility after Edna. I hope that's not what happened.
Edna.
Two women incarcerated at Edna Mahan Correctional Facility, the state's only female prison, have become pregnant after sex with a transgender inmate, New Jersey Advanced Media has learned. It appears the women became pregnant from consensual sexual relationships with another incarcerated person, Dan Sparazza, the DOC's External Affairs Executive Director, said. Although Sparazza did not identify the inmates in question, they're the ones with the big tum-tums. Edna Mahan,
a good way to tell.
Sure. Edna Mahan houses 27 prisoners who identify as transgender. He said the investigation is ongoing. While DOC cannot comment on any specific disciplinary or housing decisions that may be considered in light of these events, Sparazza said, the department always reserves all options to ensure the health and safety of the individuals in its custody. On Wednesday, New Jersey Advanced Media obtained multiple letters written by the prisoners involved discussing the pregnancies. The revelation presents a thorny problem for state correctional officials who have been grappling with the sexual abuse and exploitation of inmates by staff at the prison for the past decade. You know how you know this isn't an article from the New York Post? There's no pithy jokes here.
No, yeah. That's true.
This is how you know I didn't get this one from the New York Post.
I like that it said a thorny problem.
Yeah.
Do I make you thorny, baby?
Yeah, like if it was the Post, there would have been a comment there.
Oh, yeah.
The developments follow a settlement agreement with the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey last year, which stipulates that transgender prisoners...
What's going on over there, Joe?
Oh, that was weird.
It sounded like you're unwrapping some hard candies in a movie.
No, I flipped the page.
Okay.
Well, flip more quieter. Quite the loud flip you have there, sir. Which stipulates that transgender prisoners should be housed in line with their gender identity. That settlement stemmed from a lawsuit by a transgender woman who was sent to a men's prison where she allegedly received inadequate medical care and was abused by inmates and staff. Well, that's any male prison.
Yeah.
Not that it's right, but...
No.
Advocates hailed the agreement as necessary reform that moved New Jersey to the forefront of trans rights, along with states like California and Massachusetts that have implemented policies on how transgender prisoners should be housed and medically treated. The majority of transgender inmates in the United States are housed in prisons according to their gender assigned at birth and are often subjected to violence and harassment. On Tuesday, the ACLU of New Jersey did not respond to questions regarding the pregnancy, but its legal director, Jean Lo Cicero, said the current policy reflects best practices to ensure the health, dignity, and safety of people in the DOC custody. It is in line with New Jersey's strong anti-discrimination laws that prevent discrimination and harassment on the basis of gender identity. Union officials who consistently oppose the move said the current policy remains concerning for its officers and incarcerated population. We oppose this policy change, believing it would be detrimental to the general population of female inmates being housed at Edna Mahan and also bring added stress to our correctional police officers assigned to the institution. Yeah, it's our job to fuck the inmates. We don't want the competition.
Seems like that was it.
Said William Sullivan, president of the NGPBA, Local 105, the union that represents the majority of correctional officers. Even among inmates, there's disagreement over whether some transgender prisoners should be at the facility. Last year, two Edna Mahan prisoners filed a class action lawsuit seeking to immediately remove any and all female preoperative transgender inmates, alleging that some had harassed them and engaged in sexual contact with other women. In an affidavit filed, it's a great fucking ploy, I guess. In an affidavit filed in support of the lawsuit, one transgender prisoner who had gender-conforming surgery before she was incarcerated said the DOC's current policy is very questionable. I believe it is highly inappropriate for the New Jersey DOC to place preoperative male to female allegedly transgender inmates in women's prison, said the woman has been locked up for more than 20 years. Under the new policy, when placing a transgender prisoner in a facility, the DOC should consider all aspects of an inmate's social and medical transition, including behavioral history, institutional adjustment, overall demeanor, likely interactions with others, and feelings of safety. Like with any prisoner, the policy also states that the DOC must consider whether an individual's placement would present management or security problems in a facility. The placement is reassessed 2 years. All right, that's basically the gist of it. I don't need to read anything. It's like weird. I kind of agree with – I mean, listen, unless you're going to build a facility to house them separately, which maybe you have to do. I mean, there's not enough of them to have them in each state, but maybe you have to put them, like, spread out throughout the country. Go, all right, yeah. I kind of like the preoperative. Like, if you're preoperative, listen, you know, maybe you have to go with what you were assigned with, what you were born with.
Yes.
And post-op will transfer you. I mean, I don't know how prevalent this is.
And I don't know what percentage of people in incarcerated are pre-op transsexuals. But, yeah, it seems like, obviously, it's creating problems. I mean, yeah, female, you know, inmates will have find ways to have sex with one another anyway. But then if you have...
Do it with a camera, damn it.
But that's going to have sharp edges. if you have a preoperative male to female transsexual, well, obviously we're going to have unplanned pregnancies in jail. And that's,
excuse me, ma'am, is that a penis?
Yeah.
And just happy to see me.
You know, you have to be housed with what your gender is, you know. Well, there might be danger. Well, it's jail, but still, you're going to have pregnancy. You're going to have. I'm sorry, you know.
But I do think that if at all possible, there should be a separate ward for, you know, pre-op transsexual men, because they are going to have an inordinately hard time. Like, it's almost cruel and unusual punishment to put them with the general population in a man's prison, because you know they're going to get abused. And I know it's jail, but that doesn't mean that it has to be inhumane. That doesn't mean we have to promote sexual violence amongst inmates. And you know that these guys, women, are going to be, you know, taken advantage of and abused and maybe killed. You know, transsexuals have a higher incident of being abused and murdered in our country than a lot of other populations. They're a vulnerable population, and we really do have to take that into account. They should have, like, a separate ward.
I think there should be I think if you're in jail and you get a prisoner impregnated, there's got to be some sort of punishment. Like, you think? Yeah, like we can't just allow this. I mean, I know you're supposed to be. Listen, if you're gonna fuck, use protection. You get somebody pregnant, we're adding
Bill,
10 years.
Bill, sit down. How was the art today, Bill? You can't fuck the other inmate.
Well, you can. You just got to use protection. Pull something. You know, because now we got to take care of that. That's a problem. I mean, now this was consensual, so the women were up for it. They should be punished too.
Yeah.
Listen,
you're not supposed to have sex in jail. That's the thing. It happens. Oh, yeah, it happens. But you're not supposed to be able to have sex in jail. So anyone having sex, pre-op, post-op, cisgender, whatever you are, you're not supposed to be touching other people's no-no bits in jail.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it gets lonely in jail, though.
I'm sure.
Well, you should think of that before you do the crime, Joe.
Well, thank you very much.
Prepare yourself, Joe.
Just saying, if you don't want to be raped.
Watch Cops or the Jail Show or whatever, it's like, I'm so obeying the law.
Really?
Listen, I got to tell you, getting raped in jail is the only reason why I follow the law. It's the only.
It's a strong deterrent for me.
Because let's be honest, I'm going to be a fine piece of ass in jail. Yeah, like I'm gonna have to make friends with some big guy, and you know,
how many cigarettes do we think Davin is worth?
I gotta, you know what? People think I'm younger than I am, and I've been told I have soft hands, so I would take a good amount of cigarettes.
You're a baby bear.
About 2 cartons, probably worth 2 cartons.
Well, I don't know, Joe. I'm not as familiar with the going rate as you are.
I asked him what the going rate was, and he's speculating.
I'm guessing you're probably worth 2 cartons.
All right. Yeah, I feel like you know that a little too well.
Devin's a baby bear.
I'm thinking about that.
I don't. Maybe I'm worth more. Maybe
I'm looking at blessing. Oh, I fucked you.
Listen, if you're gonna be traded for cigarettes, you want to be traded for as many cigarettes as possible.
Yeah, really. It's like, hey, I'm more cartons than that.
That's all I'm saying. You know, a little respect, a little respect for this virgin ass. Yeah. So that's why I stay out of jail. All right. Let's. This story we didn't get to last week, but we got to it this week. A Pennsylvania man was caught red-handed, New York Post, robbing expensive sex toys from an adult store where he had recently applied for a job. Jacob McFarlane, 29, allegedly walked into Adult World. outside Philadelphia last week, grabbed the 250 Autoblow AI, or Autoblow Al, I'm not sure. Joe, let me ask you, is that Autoblow Al or Autoblow AI? Now he's got nothing to say.
No, he's just still reveling in the joke of that this was such a thing.
Of course there is. And a $96 fleshlight off the shelves and hightailed into the parking lot, according to a criminal complaint obtained by the smoking gun. Yeah. Hey, you got anything about a sex shop? Yeah, actually, I'm glad something just came in. Thanks for asking, smoking gun. Obtained. We'll trade you a carton of cigarettes and Davin's ass for it. All right, it's worth that. Sure, let's do it. When a worker confronted McFarlane, he said, let go of me right now before I fucking stab you, the complaint stated. The victim was able to identify McFarlane because he recently applied for a position at Adult World. Why? Why? Why the sex shop where you applied for the... Is this a spite heist? What are we doing here? They have your information, stupid.
So dumb.
I mean, when they spent special talents and you said the things you could do with a fleshlight and then you stole the fleshlight, they knew!
I am fascinated by the fact that they have a thing called Autoblow AI or Al. I thought it was Al, and I was intrigued by that. Like, why specifically Al?
Why not?
It doesn't.
And maybe it's AI for artificial intelligence.
It probably is.
I'd like to think so.
It probably learns your cock and knows what to do with it.
Sure. Well, listen, if that's the case, tell me you're not intrigued.
Well, you know, it's got to... If it has programming, you know, faster, slower, harder,
learns what
softer,
you likes. You know, listen, I'm in a rush. All right, we'll do the speedy.
$250, it should know to rub the balls, too.
Oh, it should know everything. It should be making a sandwich afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you could, do you know how many people you could just calm down? If you could just pass them around and send one to every home, people would just be so
and
much
that's how
chiller.
That's how Biden wins re-election. And Autoblow Al in every pot.
Autoblow Al in every pot.
Hey, Dad, Amazon left a box outside. What is it? Why, it's the Autoblow, dear.
No, Joe.
That is to splash his sauce into.
Though that's what the pot's for.
To be fair, an Autoblow is not like a box. A fleshlight is more akin to a box, if that's what was left outside.
Oh, but there would be a tiny, tiny little box, wouldn't it?
Depends on the fleshlight you buy.
Why would you need a really super big one?
Some guys like that.
You want them smaller, don't you?
I'm not every man. I don't know.
Well, I mean, isn't the whole idea like... pressure and
some guys, some guys are girthier. They need more. You know, a tight fit for somebody else is very loose for somebody else. I don't know.
But it shouldn't be any bigger than a shoebox, right?
Again, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but even shoeboxes come in different sizes. Are they toddler shoes? Are they Air Jordans for a basket for Shaquille O'Neal?
At the end of the day, do you look down and go, I'm fucking a shoebox. What's wrong with me?
What's right with me?
$250 for the thing. What's wrong with me again?
I got to tell you, as somebody who is wasting money on shit I'm never going to appreciate, like a fucking subfloor in a bathroom, $250 for an Autoblow Al or Auto, that sounds like a much better purchase.
I think it's.
You're getting something from it or getting off on it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Think about how much happier I am after my $250 spent on that than I am when the when the contractor goes, and we got to fix this too. Where's Al?
I need Al.
I'm
need
stressed.
Al
where's Al? I just 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Let me get Al. I'll be right with you.
You really? It's like, see, I'm so much more calm. It's like a Snickers, but not.
See, the Autoblow Al is not a sex toy. It's an investment for sanity.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody would be so much more chill if they had, like, you know.
Well, I don't know if I get Biden's texts anymore begging me for money. I might have tell them to stop, but if I do, I will certainly reply, listen, not for nothing, you want to win. A lot of people don't like your policy. Try this.
You know what? Even if it's not Autoblow Al, a fleshlight in every mailbox is really going to, it's really going to sweep the nation. It's going to calm some people down.
Cops caught up with the raunchy robber at a hotel near the North Wales sex shop and found him with the stolen fake female genitalia and robotic oral sex machine, as well as a knife. Well, sometimes you have to threaten that sex machine. Suck it, bitch! Suck it!
I said no teeth!
Don't you talk back to me! He was charged with robbery and making terroristic threats and was being held on $5,000 bail, according to the outlet. That's expensive and not having a real person involved. Mm-hmm. McFarlane was also reportedly facing unrelated drug theft, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief charges. I will say this. Auto blow sounds like fun. But it also does sound like yard work. Hold on. Yeah, the wife's nagging. I got to auto blow. I got to get the auto blow outside. Yeah, yeah, the leaves. I got to get the auto blow.
For leaves. I don't think that's going to work in the yard unless you really want to give the neighbors a show.
Here's my question. With all these things against that they charged him with, you're telling me speeding wasn't one of those things? Like, you're telling me this guy's not rushing back to that hotel room?
Oh, yes, he was.
I, this guy's doing all those things. I don't think he's following the speed limit.
No.
Now, my question is, does he lodge at the hotel, or does he feel like he's going on a freaking one-night stand with the auto blow machine?
Well, no, I think this was the first night of what he hoped would be a long-term relationship.
I think he was whining and dining.
Like you don't steal an auto blow, use it once or twice, and throw it in the trash. That's just stupid.
No, they found him in there with, you know, the auto blow Al, a bucket of KY and a bucket of fried chicken. He was going to have a really fine evening.
I really could go for some fried chicken.
I know.
We got no dinner.
I'm sorry I said it.
We got no dinner in this house.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if I don't cook, it ain't happening these days.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I didn't cook, so it ain't happening.
Oh, no. I heard you guys talking about what's for dinner, and it's like you both were like, eh.
No, it's like Suzanne, like, this is your night.
I think it's cereal tonight.
Well, she's happy with it. She's one of those breakfast for dinner people.
Yeah, me too.
I'm like, no. Breakfast for breakfast, if that, dinner for dinner.
If you got eggs, you have dinner.
Not really. All right. So let's do some drunks in the news. Let me find. What's so funny?
I'm just thinking about auto blow Al.
Of course you are. We all are. Thoughts and prayers. All right, drunks in the news.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, this Benjamin Franklin drinking term is been to a funeral. I don't know.
Is this supposed to be an Irish wake?
I don't know. I mean, I can see you look like hell.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, or sometimes people get really depressed when they drink and they get all weepy and all and stuff.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Nobody likes me.
Why can't you invent the auto blowout?
So we would be rich if you invented auto blowout.
You did the electricity with the kite. This is just the next level.
Why isn't it auto blow, Ben?
Ben got auto blown.
Oh, and multiple auto blown.
Yeah, that would have been good. You know, that's the founding father you want to be.
You know what? He had it going on.
Yeah, and diseases. All right. So this is how not to piss off the bartender.
Yeah, it's important.
Have your order ready when I get to you. This is from bartenders. Don't start asking people what they want. It just takes up necessary time that I don't have. Now that depends on how quickly you get to me. If I just get there and you get right, I don't know. What do you have?
Oh yeah, yeah. When you just got up to the bar, and
what's your specialty?
You're like,
What's your special? I don't always know. I want an Amstel Light.
Yeah, I mean sometimes I need time to think about it. I didn't realize I had to stand back and only approach the bar when I was decided.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to Coors Light, that means I've run out of time or I'm not impressed with what you have. But that's not my go-to. So I don't agree with
you.
Yeah.
Speak up. There's loud music and screaming all around me. I get it. That's true. But then again, we didn't create that.
No, but I mean, you have to deal with where you are.
Yeah, but don't get mad at low talkers.
Oh, no. But it's ridiculous to be a low talker in a bar. You are not going to get what you want. I used to actually carry a card with me that said Coke with lime, please. Because we would go, Mr. Helix and I would go to bars all the time. And I would just hold up my sign. And then when they gave me whatever and took my money, I flipped it over and said, thank you. on the other side. I'm not screaming for...
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I was prepared.
I actually walked up to women and held up a card that said, auto blow, please. and then 10 minutes later, I held flipped the card and said, thank you. So as much
they
as
say. They made a hotel.
Yeah. No need for a hotel.
They held up a car saying, fuck you, Al.
Yeah. So this one, number three. What beers do you have? Look at the tabs. I'm making a cocktail right now. I need to focus on what else this guy's ordering. No, because sometimes you have stuff on bars, like especially with these IPAs, that, you know, they're not on tap.
Right.
So that's no.
No, that's
also, if the bar is crowded where the taps are, sometimes you have to go, you know, you could be two people back and you go over by the other end of the bar where there is a little room. Now the bar, you know, the taps are all the way down. Yep. Due to the circumstances, no, I can't see the goddamn taps. What do you got?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's kind of ludicrous what they just said.
Number four, don't wave your hand, even with money. Still don't. We know you're thirsty. That's why you're there. You know what? We need your attention. As somebody who frequently gets walked past at a bar, we got to wave some shit at you. Now, you're not getting all this $5, but but there's a fraction of it that could be yours.
I've known good bartenders do scan who's at the bar, and they do keep pretty good track of who came first and get to you when they can. But there are some people that are just so lousy at it, and they get so overwhelmed, they spend all their time to the left of the bar, and if you're at the right, you're fucked.
Yeah, because they're talking to people.
Yeah.
Hey, Davin, how many times, like, after a show, we grab a cocktail, and then sometimes I'll sit there and go, I can get a drink quicker at the Betty Ford Clinic, you know? I mean, yeah. But sometimes you got to make it know when you get like there's two people that come up and they're getting the drink. All right, enough's enough. Excuse me, you know.
Don't touch my shit, shakers or whatever. Yeah, that, you know, not yours.
Hey, keep your paws off everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, that's not like I disciplined Nacho. No. Get the little squirt gun spray.
Even your brand new cat knows not to touch certain things.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I think the people in bars should learn. And I know that there's drunks in there, and it's like that, unfortunately, is going to come with it. But if you're not drunk yet, you have no fucking reason to be touching their stuff.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't do that. Hands to yourself. Don't stand in front of my servers while servers need their drinks and you're in the way. Now, I will say when I'm performing, I often stand in front of the service well because the bar's packed and I need to get my Diet Coke now. And you know what? If you don't want me to stand by the service well, then fucking go through your customers quicker.
Yeah.
You know, we're three fucking deep here and it's the only place that's open. I understand this. Then you need to hire more bartenders because this is untenable.
Or in
yeah, I was thinking the same thing at the club. Sometimes you got to realize that. However, if you have to go up to the service bar, just make it known. Look, I got to go. I'm going up in 3 minutes. Can I just grab a water or something like that? Where they realize you're not lounging around. You're going. You're about to go on stage. Can I just grab a water? So they don't. You know. So they realize. Yeah, that's fine. You know. But if you're hanging out in the way, it's a problem. But you know, you just got to let them know the situation.
Or the performer, whether it be a comedian or a band member, has to bring their girlfriend to the show so they can go fetch drinks. I was good for that.
Yeah.
No, we found something. Yeah. We found a purpose.
Yes, I have other purposes too.
Yes, you're an auto blow pip. Number seven. Don't ask me, the service bartender who makes servers drinks, questions when I'm making drinks for servers. There are other bartenders behind the bar for this very reason. I don't really follow this.
Oh, no, there are people that are the ones that the bartenders are going to interact with you and take the order originally and, you know, take the money and all that. They yell to, like, sort of sub-bartenders that all they do is hear the drink and start making them en masse, you know? Like, so, like, say there's a specialty in the place that's a heavy margarita joint. They're, like, making, like, 6-7 margaritas and then, you know, giving them to the main bartender. And they have to remember ingredients, pour times, what did they just say? Does this one get salt or not? All that stuff is in their head. And you're going, do you have imported? Shut the fuck up. I'm thinking.
That, right. Because if you notice, like if you're at the club, you know, a very busy bar, they're up to their ass.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
And they're mixing drinks for servers. They're trying, you know, try to stay out of their hair.
Yeah.
Chain ordering is a sin. Like when they say, can I get a, wait, I also need a,
yes.
And a, sorry.
Yes.
you know what? To a lot of people, ordering drinks is a lot of pressure. Like, I understand why it's annoying to the bartender.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are very nervous to talk to other people. And, you know, sometimes the people you are with are assholes and they can't get their shit together.
That's
and you're
the
just
worst.
You're just the mouthpiece.
Yes. Now, thanks for making me the asshole because you just decided, oh, you know what? I know I told you I didn't want anything, but now I want a gin and tonic. Now I'm the asshole because now when they come back, I got to say, oh, one more thing. And that's not how they work back there. It's inefficient.
In that situation, if it's busy, you have plenty of time. What do you want? What are you drinking? Can I help you? Yeah, give me 2 Coors Lights, give me a Bud and a Jack and Coke. You know, yeah, because chop, 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 you get it. You know, and if you're buying around, you got to have everybody ready to go. This way you give it to her in one lump sum, you know?
Well, you know what? I think that most of the buying public does not understand there's a lot of mental gymnastics that goes on when you're making food and when you're making drinks. Because you have to, you start immediately when they tell you what they want, you start doing the math of, okay, well, they just told me they want that. That's 4 vodka drinks, so I can group them together. And now I remember that, you know, these 2 vodka drinks have these extra things, so I can do that. And you're doing the math on how do you put it together and what's the most efficient way because you got to go, go, go. And if all of a sudden you're like, I dealt with people ordering food. If you told me you wanted a bunch of sandwiches and I'm putting the sandwiches on the counter and now you tell me you want soup, which takes time to warm up, I'm going to slap your ass.
All right.
Yeah. And you want to know something? I think like maybe this would be probably more for younger people that are starting to go out to bars now. I mean, look, we've been there, done that, literally got the T-shirts. So we know what it's like to hang out in bars, to hang out in clubs, to work in clubs, and to play in clubs. So basically when you go up and you know the drill. You know, what do you guys want? Oh, give me this or this. So this way when you got 3 guys behind you, what do you have? I want this, 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 and this, a shot of Jack, blah, blah, blah. Because we've been there, done that, you know. But this is like for maybe people in their early 20s that are heading out to clubs that don't know what the fuck they're doing.
This is not for the career alcoholic.
Right.
If you're a friend or know me, don't pressure me for free drinks. I'll try to give you what I can. First of all, wrong answer. You will not try to give what you can. Don't say that. You're stealing from your boss.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you shouldn't pressure people for free drinks.
No, I think it's douchey.
Yeah. 10, I'm coming. Stop slapping the bar, telling me your order as I walk past or waving. Well, you know what? You need to get to me a little quicker. I'm sorry. I get that you don't want to see that, but now unless that's your opening salvo as a patron, that's a problem. But if
Garcon.
But if you keep on walking past me and other people who came up after me are getting served, I'm going to wave. I'm going to slap.
Yep.
Yeah, because enough is enough. I've been standing here for almost 10 minutes. I've watched you serve 4 people before me, you know, and I want to get back to what I was doing. So, yeah, that comes after about horsing around for 7 minutes, 10 minutes waiting on it. You give them the courtesy. And if there are people before you and they're not that good, then you got to say so. Like you said before, a good bartender keeps, you know, knows who's where and what. But if you do get the one that doesn't know what they're doing and you're standing there for 10 minutes, you know what? I didn't come here to fucking stand around. I need to order my drink.
Actually, when I was in my 20s, that is why I went to the bar, essentially, when I was going with my female friends, to essentially stand around. But anyway, essentially what I did.
I got a question. Lisa, too, I wrote, order a Greyhound if you want to tick them off. What the hell is a Greyhound, Lisa?
What the heck is a Greyhound? We need to know. Inquiring minds.
It's
know.
A mode of transportation when you fucked up in life. Duh. I mean, I don't know what that has to do with this, but you're welcome.
Well, that was like a McGuire's one night. We're hanging out, and this guy comes up to Toy. He was one of the bartenders. Goes, can I get a Harvey Wallbanger? And we're like, what are we on Three's Company? What the fuck is? Who drinks a Harvey Wallbanger?
You know what? Hush your mouth. We'd all be privileged and lucky to be at the Regal Beagle.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I don't even know what this is, but do not pick up or help yourself to my bitters, and don't pick them up just to read what they are. They are my tools. Hands off. What are bitters?
It's a jar of. I don't know why you would use them. I don't know what they taste like, to be honest. I mean, I'm guessing bitter, but it's a jar of an ingredient you put in certain drinks.
Okay, I didn't know. All right, yeah. Keep your hands to yourself. That's fair. Don't fucking eat out of the fucking fruit tray. That fruit is meant for drinks, not for your grubby fingers. Yes, but I'm hungry.
By the way, Lisa Tui says Greyhound is vodka and grapefruit juice.
I would kill somebody that ordered vodka and grapefruit by saying it's a Greyhound.
I think Lisa's angling for a game of boozy or floozy. That's what I think Lisa's angling for.
Yes, I think so.
And apparently we all would have lost on that one. So.
Maybe we have a new one. Is it boozy or pet?
Yes. Don't be on the phone when you're ordering your drink, and it prolongs the whole process.
Ugh.
I get it. Yeah, like, unless it's like, yeah, like, but, you know, then again, if you've been ignoring me and now the phone rings and I pick it up and now you show up, we're both a little bit at fault here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but you want to know something? If you're on your phone waiting and blah, 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 can I help you? Yeah, hold on for a second. Give me two Jack Daniels. Give me a couple of Coors Light. You know, so if you're asked what you want, you're not, you know, you rattle it off. It's not a problem. I'm on the phone, so I'm fucking waiting here. You know, you ask me what I want, here you go.
Well, here's what I say. I tell the bartender, shh, making a TikTok. And then I go back to what I was doing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They'd throw you out.
No. I'm going viral. Let's see. Number 14. Don't be like one of those people who tries to negotiate. Seriously, I don't own the bar. I'm not in any position to give you discounts without taking it from my tips. Yeah, this isn't a Middle Eastern bazaar. These are the prices.
Yeah.
You're in America. You know what? When you're in Dubai, be my guest. But here in here in Ohio, the price is the price.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what, a Coors Light's $10? Yeah, you're in the fucking city. A Coors Light's $10. Yeah, you pay it.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way you could get raped any less was if you were a transgender in prison. All right. Because there is consensual. People always send back the drink for not being strong enough. I, the bartender, know exactly how much I poured in your drink. You got 2.25 ounces altogether of spirit. If your face doesn't scrunch up in disgust, that's because it's fucking a cocktail and it's supposed to taste good. You know what? Not every bartender is created equal.
And no, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, some people like a strong drink, some people don't.
Right. Well, right. But, I mean, there are standards for what is supposed to be in cocktails. And as we've seen from
Bar Rescue, yeah.
We know that it varies.
Listen there, sweet tits. Yeah. If everybody was pouring the proper drink, John Taffer wouldn't have a career. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad I got to tell you, I remembered something. Basically, when you talk about a course of a drink, this is like 1984. 384. The band I was in, we were playing at Lemoore in the city. And I go up and I go, yeah, can I get a Bud? Yeah, that's $8. I go, yeah, I'm in the band. I don't care if you're in Zeppelin. It's $8.
I don't care if you're in Zeppelin.
I feel like somehow they would. It's a great answer, but I feel like somehow if it's like Robert Plant, all right, it's on the house.
That's really funny. I don't care if you're in Zeppelin.
Yeah, I don't care if you end up with a tape.
And that prepared Joe to be a stand-up comedian. That interaction right there.
Right.
The go fuck yourself from the help has really helped guide Joe's career in comedy.
I prepared. I got a hard shell now.
And that was the first time staff put Joe in his place. What would follow would be many, many years of staff putting
that
Joe
was,
in his place.
That was my introduction to working the clubs. Yeah, yep. I ain't going to doubt that. Nope, I was 20, you know, and I was already working the bars as a roadie and stuff like that, you know, and I knew what it was like. But, you know, usually kind of deal, but Lemoore's big rock club, you know, the band is starting to get into the bigger club. You know, yeah, I'm in the band. Yeah, I don't care if you're in Zeppelin. $8.
That's really great.
But there was a time I was dating this girl, and we go up New Year's Eve, and God, it's going to 1990. And her friends were in the service, and we were in an Air Force base. And I go up, and I order, and this is up in Maine, and I order what my girlfriend was drinking, what they're drinking, what I'm drinking. And the guy goes, yeah, that's $10. And I go, $10? And he goes, yeah, is that a problem? I go, no, I might move here. Back in the home, that's like about $25 worth of drinks, and you're on the Air Force base, you know, you pay a better price. So, you know, it was like drinks for four people, shot, you know, $10.
That's insane.
Number 16, when they ask for another drink after closing time, I can't. Yeah, I get how that could be annoying.
Yeah, very.
And lastly, tip or stay home. All right, first of all, I hear you. I agree with you. But tip is gratuity. Relax. It's not my fault that your job pays a shit hourly wage. I agree that you should tip, and I generally tip well. But you know what? You gotta. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. You can't make rent. You're sling the drinks. You are paid to sling the drinks. Anything I give you extra is generosity.
No, it's expected.
Well, it shouldn't be.
It should not be, but that's rhetorical.
And it also depends on the situation. Like if you're out with friends and you tip, yeah, I'll throw you a buck and stuff like that. Now at Governor's, if you're working at the club that night, you drink for free. So if I'm getting like, a Coors Light and a shot of Jack Daniels, you know, I'll throw him a five. It's free, but I'll throw him a five. You know, maybe if I get another drink, I'll throw him a one because it's a courtesy thing. You're drinking for free, even though you're in the club, but you do take care of the staff because you're working there like they are. So it depends on the situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in general, because we understand in all our culture that is part of going out, part of eating, part of drinking.
But it's stupid.
It is stupid.
It shouldn't be.
It should not be. But it is.
You know what? Charge me an extra dollar for the drink and give that to the staff. And
well, then I agree. Pay the staff what they're worth.
Yeah.
Period. But that's not.
Or maybe they are. But, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they are paying them what they're worth.
But I mean, that's where we're at right now. So just being, I don't agree with it. So you're not going to get it. No, no.
No, I tip. Yeah. But you know what?
There was time. It's also the bartender's attitude. Sometimes you see them nice. They're working hard and stuff like that. And then you get an impression sometimes they can't be bartered with you.
Sure.
You know, and you'll get a tip. You get a buck. Second drink, you're not getting another dollar.
Also, to be fair, it depends on breast size, how much you flirt. I mean, why do you think they hire pretty girls or handsome men who are engaging? Why do you think? Because they're not putting me behind the bar. Nobody wants to keep on ordering drinks from a guy who's going to give them a smart-ass answer and isn't going to pretend to sleep with them. They're not hiring me.
No, I mean, of course, there's other stuff that goes into it, and people do what they got to do to make extra tips. If it means a lower cut shirt, yeah, people are going to do it. But the thing is, you know, there are too many people that go, no, I'm against this in principle, and they won't tip. And that's a douche move.
It is a douche move.
Yeah, it's bullshit. That's bullshit.
But let's be honest. Yeah. Let's be honest. If you're at a place with ugly, ugly bartenders, it's a place where most of the patrons have given up.
But they better give up the tips as well.
No, but I'm just saying, like if I'm the average appearance of the bar crew, this isn't a happy place.
That's not.
Well, it's like so. I said, it depends. Like when we were working in Michigan, next to the Holly Hotel, and there was that bartender I fell in love with. Yeah,
ugh.
Nice tip, yeah.
Ugh, yeah, a five. Yeah, I mean, really, really. We've
God,
been
I
over
wish
to,
there was a picture
my,
of this
whatever
woman.
Her name was. You can't say things like that.
I don't know, but if his girlfriend's listening, he'll get a talking to. Even though she wasn't even around when this happened.
Got a talking to about it.
Yes. Why didn't you fall for
that
a
girl at that bar? It was Jesus Christ! It was 5 years ago.
More than that.
I don't know if we're ever going to work that gig again.
You won't. You won't. But you had designs on a five. What's that make me? A 5.5. Why are we fighting? Quick, get on a blow, Al. We'll make it a night.
Yeah.
Or not. I still have Al.
I still have Al. I tell you what, if I have Al, I don't need Betty. That's all I'm saying.
There you go.
All right. Let's take our final break of the evening. We'll come back with some scamming scammers. Well, on the break, we have Ian Soares and Coppamore with Light of the Night and XEDM with Anthem. And you can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.com.